with somebody. Hey, I want to feel the heat. Yeah. I know y'all don't want to hear me singing, but hey, welcome to another episode of Shangela. Why is it called Shangela? Well, it's my name, and we came to talk today. So I am thrilled to have you guys listening in on the podcast today because I'm so thrilled. Coming up soon, we have a very special guest here with me today, and I must say that I'm actually excited, not only because this person's my friend, I haven't seen her in a while because, you know, we be on the move and we bitches be working, but I'm so happy that she's coming in today. Lena Waithe is going to be here, and she's a huge Whitney fan. Trust me, I will talk to her about Whitney Houston for y'all, but that's why I'm singing, oh, I want to dance with somebody. Hey, I want to feel the heat. Vocals. I hope everyone's having a absolutely amazing day wherever you are in the world. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. You know, I've been on the go. It's a working girl, honey. She always somewhere, every day, everywhere. But just last week, I took a couple days. Well, I thought they were going to be off days. I went down to Mexico. If you haven't been to Mexico, girl, go to Mexico. Have a lovely time in Mexico. I went down to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, which is about a 2.5-hour flight from L.A., nonstop, direct fish, right on down to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Now, the owner of one of the LGBTQ luxury resorts there had said, Shangela, you know, come on down. His name is Vidal. He's amazing. And that was my Mexican, Vidal in English, doing Mexican accent, like, Shangela, come on down. So he was so nice, he invited me down. I was like, oh, I got 3 days off. I'm going to go for vacation. So I took my little journal. I took my writing pad. I was like, got my little iPad. I was like, oh, baby, I'm about to go in down here and have, you know, Stella Got a Groove back, you know, but by herself, you know, tune in to your emotional state and write. I was going to be free, you know, free on the beach, just me, my toes, the sand, and the beach. Well, turns out it was gay pride in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. I know y'all thinking, Shangela, how you didn't know it was gay pride? Where you going, girl? You lying, girl. I'm telling y'all the truth. But I did go, and Vidal was so nice. He was like, you know, Shangela, just come down here for vacation. You don't have to do anything. Stay at the resort. But we do have this pink and white dinner on a Wednesday, and we also have the parade on a Thursday. Now, you don't have to get in drag. We would love to, for you to come. We're going to give you an award. Award? What I do for Mexico? Okay, I love it. So I come, and then we're like, oh, yeah, and we have the white party on Saturday. Oh, yeah, and we also have another party on Friday. My good friend Elliot Cohen was there. So you know what? I ended up not having the type of vacation I thought I was going to have. It was like one of those fun party vacations where you party so much that you kind of need a vacation after the vacation. But I had a great time, and I recommend Mexico for anybody that wants to go. Oh, honey, the margaritas were lovely. The beach, the Montemar Beach Club right there in the gay area of Puerto Vallarta. I learned a lot about this. The gay area is actually called Zona Romántica. I think that's right. If I'm pronouncing that wrong, somebody gonna write me and I know it. Please, it's fine. Zona Romántica, okay? And that's the gay area of Puerto Vallarta. And it's actually a very fun place, especially for LGBTQ people. It was actually really fun. I had a great time. So I'm sure there'll be more stories about that, but I couldn't stay long, y'all, because then I had to roll out and get back on the road working again. I went to Columbus, Ohio, for an event on Sunday that was actually the closing party for the big, it's called like Capital City Rugby Cup, which is like the gay rugby championships, okay? And they do like challenge course, and they do championship, and they do like rugby. And you know, I don't know much about sports. I feel like that song goes, I don't know about the hair, but my club. Yeah. Oh, I don't know much about sports, but my hair looks fierce. And so, but I gave them, trust me, a full-on athletic performance at the end of the night before coming back to LA. It's been a fun time. I don't know if any of you guys participate in gay sports or just sports in general, but shout out to y'all, because you know, it takes a lot of effort, and I know that I'm out there performing and doing shows, but you know, I'm on stage for about 15 minutes max, 25 if I'm really feeling it. Last year during the Shook Show, I did 90-minute shows. But honestly, if you're playing a sport, that's a lot of energy for a lot of time. And I know I've tried to be more fit this year because I'm like, okay, Shangela, you know, mama, you've been on the road. You've been eating them lovely hotel meals. You're going to have to pull it together, sis. So I've been pulling it together. And y'all know, some of y'all listening out there know how sometimes you get to just, you get lax. But there were 3 weeks when I was super fit. You know, I was like going to the gym. I had a friend, Eric, who was preparing my meals and training with me. And I was like on it. I was like, ooh, I'm going to get ready for white party. I'm going to take my shirt off. And I'm going to feel like, yes, bitch, I did that. Well, after I went down to that white party event that I worked so hard for 3 weeks, I was like, well, I'm on vacation. I'm going to eat now. Bring me that pizza. Bring me that burger. Bring me them fries. Oh, baby, I want the vanilla shake, and I want a double vanilla shake. Well, I never kind of came off vacation, y'all. So I'm not beating myself up, but we, what's that good old gospel song? We fall down, but we get up. I'm going to need us to all get up. So I'm dedicating it to y'all starting next week. Next Monday, I'm going to get back to fit. I go back to fit. That was my Amy Winehouse reference. Oh, y'all get a lot of impromptu karaoke over here. All right, coming up soon, I've got Lena Waithe here to chat with me. I'm excited for that, and we're going to get into it, so stay tuned. A greetings, salutations, and hallelujah. I'm so thrilled right now, y'all, because here on the podcast, on Shangela, the podcast. Just one name, one word, one name, one title. I'm thrilled to have someone I call my friend.
Yeah.
Someone that I call a role model. Someone who is also known as an actor, a producer, a writer extraordinaire, an Emmy Award-winning professional, a style icon on the red carpets, the black carpets, the rainbow carpets, all of the above. I have the one and only Lena Waithe here with me today.
Yes.
Lena, welcome.
I'm posting you right now.
You posting me?
Yep.
Oh, look at, I'm gonna be on the gram.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm excited to be on the gram, Lena. Thank you. Y'all, this is one of the GOAT's greatest of all time.
Yes.
I'm gonna pump you up a lot, Lena, because I just gotta
tell you,
know I love you.
I love you.
You are loved, period.
You are loved as well.
And as you coming here on one of, you know, the first few podcasts that I've had here, first of all, thank you.
Of course.
Second of all, I set up a special song for the intro. You ready?
Yes.
Tell me this. Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Yes. Come on.
Lena,
you have clearance? Do you have clearance to use this? Probably not. You play 2 seconds of it.
Boom,
okay,
one, two, and here comes the fade down. Ladies and gentlemen, I do that myself. Look at that professional.
Hologram tour. Hologram tour.
Lena, you are a well-known lover of Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Why Whitney?
That's a really good question. That's the thing I think I've also, like, may have asked myself, but it's also interesting, and I think that when we feel a connection to people, particularly people we don't know. And I never got a chance to actually make her acquaintance. I did go to the My Love Is Your Love tour, which was really dope. So I'm really glad I got to hear her sing live.
Clap your hands, y'all. It's all right.
Yeah, come on. The interesting thing is because people have asked me that, not really, actually a lot of people have not asked me the why. So, and it's a thing that I ask myself and I am still trying to figure that out, I think. And the more I learn about her life, the more I think I kind of see some similarities, not a ton, but I definitely understand what it's like to have more opportunity than your own mother and how that can sometimes almost like drive you away from each other, even though obviously our parents want us to go further than they did. Sometimes that can actually create a distance between the parent and child. And so I definitely relate to that. I also relate to the drive that I think she's always had.
Y'all gotta put some respect on her check, Whitney Houston.
Come on. I mean, when you look at those old interviews, people would be asking her questions. I was just talking about this at breakfast. Like, they would say, how do you think you'll fare among all the other people who are coming out with albums and want to be pop stars? And she would always say, pretty well. I think I'll do okay. Because I think a part of her knew, like, y'all don't really know, like, what I got. And I think I have a little bit of that. You know, I mean, look, obviously there's been rumors about, you know, her possibly being queer. I always, you know, try to be respectful of what she said while she was on this planet, which was she was not. Although in her death, a lot of people have sort of confirmed it. But either way, I think, you know, I think that is a thing that's really shaken me to my core, that I'm a out, you know, gay person, and the fact that there's been talk that she was queer but couldn't be open about it. Obviously her best friend was, you know, Robin Crawford mm-hmm. is a known lesbian. And but I also, too, don't think that means, oh, okay, because you have a gay best friend doesn't mean you're necessarily gay. But obviously, she was a friend to the queer community, no matter yeah. how you look at it. Well, so that kind of stuff, I'm trailing off now, but I think I've sort of been trying to ask myself that stuff, too. But look, she was a worldwide star. You know, I think she's up there like Cher and Madonna. You know, I think she's I think there's something about the queer community that we kind of, like, look at certain people and they help us get out of our heads a little bit and make us dream and see things the way we couldn't. But also, too, I heard her before I saw her. You know, I heard her voice from being in the backseat of my mom's car. I listened to Greatest Love of All. I'm just being like, whoever this is like angelic. Like, this voice is amazing.
Well, and you've said the same things about my voice, too, though.
I did. I was in the backseat of my mom's car listening to, you know,
one of
Shangela's top 20 Billboard charted singles. But yeah, it's like, it's just a weird thing. Like, it's just a connection. I could talk about her all day long. I know everything there is to know. I've seen pretty much all the footage. Like, she's just someone that is just very, you know, I feel very connected to. So I felt really honored, too, when the filmmakers of the Whitney documentary asked myself and Justin to introduce it and to host a screening. Because I tell people, I was like, I didn't make this movie, but I'm happy to support it. But, you know, even her former agent came up to me, who's amazing, and was like, y'all two, she's like, one, I would have wanted you two to meet. And she was like, what's really kind of warmed my heart. She's like, I think she would have liked you. I think she would have really dug you. And I think she would have been like fascinated by me. She would have been like, how is this possible? Like,
yeah.
How are you able to be this and successful? Because I think for her, she was constantly told, in order to be successful, you have to be someone else. And I think that's kind of what, like, really ultimately took her, was really, I think, her downfall.
When I watched the most recent documentary, Whitney, right, the right. one you guys mm-hmm. introduced, mm-hmm. There were so many moments in there that made me, my heart just opened for her. Mm-hmm. And I also loved when L.A. Reid said in the documentary, like, and now you guys are making a joke
right,
of her
right,
in tabloids
right.
of all the things that she's done.
Right.
And as an entertainer, as a fellow entertainer, right. you too, sometimes you know from this side that the story that gets out there is not always the full story. And you mm-hmm. have to continue seeing these people as humans.
Right.
And when they said that she would, like, go to Michael Jackson's hotel with
right.
him and they would just sit up mm-hmm. together and just mm-hmm. be quiet to each other.
Right.
Just hang out, because only they both knew at a height when tabloid drama was going
mm-hmm.
on what it felt like to be dragged
mm-hmm.
through the mud after you've committed so much of your life.
Right.
Do
oh,
you...
Yeah.
You know, you talked about dreaming big as well, which obviously she did.
Mm-hmm.
When you were younger, did you ever see this moment happening? Like, where we are
no.
today, the Lena Waithe that mm-hmm. we all know and love today?
No. And I think, because honestly, I think you also have to leave room for God to come in as well, you know, with your dreams, because these are things that I couldn't even have dreamed up. Like, I didn't dream about being a Steven Spielberg movie. I actually didn't dream about winning an Emmy. That's the funny thing. I always watched the Emmys and watched award shows and thought they were fun, but that was never the goal. That mm-hmm. was, to me, I just really wanted to be a great writer. I always wanted to tell stories. But then being in front of the camera has opened up a whole other world for me and has, you know, created not just opportunities for myself, but has made it possible for me to create other opportunities for other people, which is what I really get the most kick out of, to introduce people to someone that they ordinarily wouldn't know about. So, I mean, I think, you know, I even try to do that with Instagram a ton, too, try to put people on game. And I'm really grateful that people go, oh, I saw that on your page, or I saw that on your stories, and I'm following this person.
So you're like a professional dream / career matchmaker.
You know, I try to always bring people together
yeah.
and, like, try to, because my big thing is it's always about the tribe. It's always about creating community. And so that's really what I try to do. But no, I really didn't always say this is God's dream, because a lot of this stuff I didn't dream up. And
mm-hmm.
so, but when it comes, you know, you got to roll with it and you got to, you know, rise to the occasion.
Well, talking about rising to the occasion, in addition to the dream, you've had the hustle.
Oh, yeah.
Now, talk to me about, and, you know, I'm fortunate because I know you on a friend level
mm-hmm.
as well. But when you first came out to L.A., before we even met, when you
right.
first, what was the hustle like?
It was crazy, man. I was working at Blockbuster, you know, transferred that job over. I'll tell you how long ago it was.
Wait a minute, Blockbuster Video?
Yes.
Like, you were putting the things back on the shelves
yes.
and checking folks out?
Yep. Straight up.
That's my girl.
Come on.
That, you know, they took. I had to have 4 accounts in different names because I had late fees.
This person wasn't returning stuff. He's like, you still have Bride Wars? Okay.
No, don't play. You know, Bride Wars
Bride
is one
Wars.
Of my favorite movies.
Come on, Bride Wars.
Okay. So what was the? Okay. So you come out to
so,
L.A.
Yeah, so,
right?
So
did
so
you get a job immediately?
I transferred that job from Chicago to L.A. I was like, I told Blockbuster people because I would be coming in late to Blockbuster in Chicago. They're like, we're gonna write you up. I'm like, don't write me up because I don't want them thinking I'm gonna be a troublemaker when I get to L.A. So I got to L.A., kept the job, met a lot lot of cool people at that Blockbuster. I remember Pink used to come into our Blockbuster.
What?
I remember that was
Which
like a
Blockbuster
big deal.
Location were you at?
We were on Ventura, not like up the street from the Arclight.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, the Sherman Oaks Arclight?
Yeah.
Okay,
we were
gotcha.
Up the street from there.
I got
so obviously it's not there anymore. But I used to work there. I used to work at this place called Media Distributors where they would like sell film and like stuff to filmmakers. Mm-hmm. So I was always like adjacent to like the business. And then I also would log tapes for the Real World and like real world challenges, just ways to make ends meet. You know what I mean? That's why it's so funny. People DM me all the time or hit me and go like, I'm thinking about making the move. Like, are there any jobs that, you know of, whatever. And I'm like, no, it don't work like that. You just got to move and then like hit the ground and like, you're going to find something like the universe will provide. You know, it doesn't hurt to know somebody that's here that might be willing to be a ride or die and say, you can sleep on my couch until you get on your feet. But for the most part, it's like, you know, does it help to have a sponsor? Absolutely. Like, I'll always be real. Like, my family did help with my rent and things like that while I was out here hustling. But eventually it got to the place where I was like living, you know, you live in the valley, you know, right. You live in a Koreatown, places that are affordable.
You pick up a roommate if you have to.
Yeah. And like, you work odd jobs that, you know, won't take you out of the game too much, but you can pay your phone bill, you can pay your car note, you can pay your rent. You know, but now people ain't got to have cars out here, really. I mean, if you kind of make it a little bit, you can do Uber and stuff. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's like, you just have to figure it out. And then eventually, like, try to, because the real hustle is when you have a job that pays your bills and a job that will help you get a foot in the door, which usually like PA gigs or whatever don't pay much. But if you have a regular job, it's like an overnight shift or super early or whatever, you can go do the industry gig that don't pay nothing during the day and then like work like a night shift or whatever.
Yes.
And if you do, and I think people may say, well, you're going to be exhausted or whatever. I'm like, but if you're playing your cards right, you'll only be doing that for a short period of time. Because there was a time where I would work during the day. I would be an intern during the day and then would work overnight shifts. So I would hopefully the internship would turn into a gig, which ultimately it did. It got me my gig working at Girlfriends because mm-hmm. I was working at Kaplan Staller as the receptionist/intern and they repped Mark Brown and Dee LaDuke, who were like co-show running Girlfriends at the time. And they needed a new assistant. And so Kaplan Staller was so happy with it. I would come in every day like bright eyed and bushy tailed, even though I had worked all night. Mm-hmm. They'd be like, yo, we have this client that needs a new assistant. You know, do you want to go up for it? I was like, sure. Interview with Mark, and then I got the gig on Girlfriends, and like everything changed after that.
Which is where I met you.
Yeah, you came to set with Jennifer Lewis, who wasn't even on the show that season, but obviously Mark is her best friend, and she's, you know, just a friend to the set. So she just came. You were there. I remember you had your hair back in a little ponytail. Like, who's this little gay black man? And so, and also Jennifer is just like, that's when she like started calling me Katrakis, and so that's how we met. But anyway, but that one show changed the whole course of my life because Mara, who I wasn't even working for directly, again, peeped my hustle and was like, recommended me to Gina Prince Bythewood when she needed an assistant for her post-production for Secret Life of Bees. And then Gina was like, I know a woman who's doing her first feature. She needs a runner. Her name was Ava DuVernay. So all those things kind of just like happened, but it all stemmed from me interning during the day and working at night. And that internship led to my first industry gig. So that's just how my journey turned out. But I always tell people all the time, I'm like, if you're willing to starve and you're willing to hunt and you're willing to work, like somebody will take notice. There's no way you're going to be doing that. Like I did that for a couple months, that horrible schedule of like working from 9 to 5 in Beverly Hills and driving an hour to the Valley and working from 6 to 3 in the morning. Did that for like 2 months. Mm-hmm. But ultimately it paid off. And so.
Exactly. Y'all, Lena is over here dropping these career inspirational nuggets. You better pick them up. Mm-hmm. You ain't got to find them like Easter eggs. She's laying them out there for you. Show up to work. Be there. Be hustle. Have a smile. Be full of energy and get the job done.
Right.
That's one thing I can say about you, Lena. You have consistently been a get the job done kind of professional.
Yeah.
And us, like, both grinding and coming up together as a fellow hustler, I not only respect your hustle, but I want you to know that not only do I see it, but everybody sees it.
Yeah.
And I remember you'd be getting these rewrites back from Gina. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, I had a script. I put up a drink. Yo, she gave me these. I got to get these notes back. And you get it done.
Yeah.
And it was like you had the items ready when they came and knocking going, well, do you have anything? You're like, I got this script. I got this.
Right.
I got this. What's your, in being a writer, a professional writer, are there any kind of things that you like to do to kind of get in the zone of writing? There's so much noise right. in the world right now. To be a good writer, I'm guessing, you really got to hone in.
The truth is like, I don't have that luxury anymore. It's like, I don't even have kids yet, you know, but like...
I'm your child, bro.
I know, you're my child. We're part of the same house. But I just feel like I have to write when I can, you know, and I can't do the coffee shop thing anymore because obviously I would never get anything done. People
stop me. Oh, is that Lena? Let me get a selfie.
Was she writing? But also I used to always write at home. I really do enjoy writing in my own space, but you know, like I'll wake up, the thing I'm doing now, cause the way that people always say, I wish there were more hours in a day. The way to get more hours in a day is to wake up earlier. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'll pop up sometimes 6, 7 a.m. And my first thing is until, I don't know, 9:30, 10. So then what happens is I'll wake up at like 6:30, 7, go downstairs, obviously to not bother my fiance and our dog. And I'll just go downstairs to the living room and just like write for, you know, from 7:30 to maybe like even just 9, 8:30 or whatever, and just sort of get something done. And then throughout the day, if I have a break, I'll work on it. But that's really what it is now. It's like I try to sit and write. For this feature I have coming out on Thanksgiving called Queen and Slim, I did take some time. I went and rented a house in Palm Springs and like just, you know, took some like a couple weeks away, you know, just to just have every single day be about I wake up
so
and
that's
write.
Why you came back glowing and super tan.
Right.
Because Palm Springs has all the sun in all the America.
But I never really left the house. Like
what?
I like literally, there was a pool and everything, but I couldn't even figure out how to like the hot tub. Couldn't figure out how to work the hot tub, so I was just in this big ass house solo, just like working on this script, but really finishing it. I didn't, mm-hmm. you know, it was more about like, okay, I gotta do this pass, finish this script, and you know, figure it out. And that's just really what it is. You really have to make time. This whole thing about we even do this thing in 20s, which is a new show we got coming out next year on BET. But one of the lead character Hattie is Lucy, based on me, and she's, you know, an aspiring television writer, and we have this thing where she like takes this master class and tells her to find her happy place to go write. And the thing is, she goes to, you know, she sits in a coffee shop, she tries to write at home, she writes in the park, but she keeps getting distracted from Twitter, Instagram, things like that. So the truth is, there's no real way to sit down and go, okay, because the truth is, real writers know, you could have a free day. Mm-hmm. Nothing, turn your phone off. You probably gonna get about, the best of us, maybe about 3 solid scenes. In a full 24 hour. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, maybe there are some people that can sit and just like write, you know, for hours straight. The truth is, it's like, no, you need to get up and walk around. You need to go Google. Because that's what will happen is like, you try to write a thing and you're like, is that true? Let me fact check it. And then you Google, then you go down a hole, then you start watching a video, then you stop to get something to eat. Like, the truth is, writing is basically you doing everything you can to not write.
I was going to say, you are like a constant Instagram poster.
Yeah.
Even though you have to go in your holes and get away from Instagram. I see you, your little line looks like 80 little dots.
I know.
And I click on every single one.
Come on.
Where do you find most of it? Because you post some of the most random things. You post things like supporting new artists. You support shoes. Like, what?
I'll do an inspirational quote every now and again. I think a big thing of it is, for me, it's a way to give people access to where my head is, mm-hmm. or to me, as much as, you know, because the big thing, people love the clothes stuff. You know, I'm a big sneaker person. So I try to like post kicks
Are
of the
you?
Day.
What? I didn't know that, y'all. Lena is like one of the most super aficionados of sneakers. I'm wearing these like toe up, busted looking Converse Chucks right now. Are you mad? Does this make you upset when
it's
you see people with dirty shoes?
Well, these are very specific. These are the Kyries that are
you're wearing
the,
okay, like, Nate, okay, so
Kyries.
You're going to walk me through this. It's the Nike Kyrie.
Kyrie. K-Y-R-I-E.
And who is that?
He's a basketball player.
Okay. School me. Thank you.
I forget what team he's on. He used to play with LeBron.
James.
Yes.
Got it.
He used to date Kalani.
No, LeBron?
No, Kyrie Irving.
Oh,
used to date Kalani.
Oh, Kalani the singer.
Yes.
Okay, look. Okay, now we're vibing world.
Trying to help you.
Got it. Okay.
They're no longer together, but they cool.
Okay.
So he did a collab, like basically, inspired by. But anyway, he apparently is a Friends fan. So this shoe is about like honoring Friends. So it says Friends here.
Uh-huh.
It says Friends on the inside.
Can you take the sole and click it like...
It says Friends, the television series.
It does, Britt.
With the trademark and everything. So obviously, you have to get permission from somebody.
Now, I don't.
And I'm a big Friends fan as well.
I'm sorry.
So when I heard about it, you know, via somebody's video, I was like, oh, I actually like get that pair.
Lena, how long you had a shoe?
Literally recently.
This is a brand new shoe. This shoe doesn't even look walked
I'm
on.
I'm wearing it for the first time today. Wearing it for the first time today.
Oh, you wore new shoes for me?
Wore new shoes.
Well, I got these
like a week ago, whatever. And I was like, oh, when am I going to wear these guys?
That is a classic, beautiful shoe. Okay, let me just tell you right now. You have a very laid-back presence. You're like, me, it's Lena. Yo, how you doing? Yo, what's up? You got to work on that. Dude, you got to do that. But you keep shutting it down in the style world. And you know I likes fashion.
Come on.
I likes fashions.
Yeah,
okay?
I like fashion, too.
And you continue. Okay, so let's talk Met Gala, please. 2018, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shut it down with the rainbow.
Rainbow cape.
Cape.
Carolina Herrera.
Come on, designers. Ooh, she got money, y'all. She's professional.
Well, I don't have to spend any money. That's what we don't realize. Like, nobody's buying any of those clothes. Those clothes are being made for you, and you give them back. That
but
is the thing.
But did you get to keep that one?
You don't get to keep any of the clothes. The clothes always belong to the designers. But as it should, I mean, those are really art pieces that mean something to the designers, their brand, and obviously, it's really, the truth is, I think the Met is less about the quote-unquote celebrities and more about the designers.
Yes.
So the truth is like you get paired with a designer by Anna Wintour, a la Vogue, and it becomes like this sort of like, and you go, that is your date. That's who you go to the Met Gala with is the designer. And it's kind of cool. It's like, you're that designer's muse for the night, or you've been that designer's muse before. And so Carolina Herrera was a really cool thing because I think they were doing something with capes. And obviously I had said the thing about the superhero comment in my Emmy speech.
Yes.
So this was very smart, I think, on Vogue and Anna Wintour's part to pair us together since they were doing something with capes. And then I came with the idea. I said, can it be a rainbow cape? They were super open to that. And then I also came back and said, I need a black and brown stripe, which includes, you know, people with the LGBTQIA community that are non-white, and they were again very accommodating, and also they tailored a beautiful suit, and it was great, and the pins, the buttons that kept the cape, you know, attached to my blazer, it was wonderful. And
no, it belongs in the Smithsonian.
I don't know where it is actually. I don't know.
But don't tell anybody. I'm gonna wear it next week.
Come on, you gonna do your own version. You gonna make your own cape. And then this year, I did get a bit of a choice. I'm not gonna say who the other choice was, but you know, no matter what, like, I was very happy that Pierre Moss was, you know, presented to me, and
yes,
I had already been a fan of his work and had been actually wearing his clothes on the set of Queen and Slim because he had sent me some stuff. Kirbito is the designer, and he's just dope. He's just phenomenal. He's a phenomenal human being. Kirby, or we call him Kirby, but he's just great. And so we met obviously in New York and started working on the fitting. But he showed me sketches of it, which are beautiful, and we just sort of like really worked together. And
so
I said,
this is for this year. This is for the 2019.
That was for this year.
Of course, I know everybody saw it. What color was that, Lena? Was it?
It was like a light
periwinkle.
Blue. It was like a light blue? Baby powder blue. Because initially it was supposed to be black,
yes,
with white stripes, which were obviously ultimately lyrics, which people ultimately saw, but it wasn't coming up. And so he's like, I'm gonna change it. I was like, cool. But the blue ended up feeling better and more camp than anything, because his inspirations were MC Hammer's old suits and then also,
yes,
the Zoot suits from Malcolm X. So it was so black, it was so brilliant. And the buttons were always faces, and you know, by this jeweler in New York that's also really dope, who we have since tagged. I can't remember his handle right now, but he's really amazing. And then I just said, I was like, look, because we were talking about wanting to kind of do a tribute to Nipsey or this and that. And I said, we should do messaging on the back, like, just,
yes,
to really make it pop. And I want to say black, you know, black drag queens invented camp. And he was like, oh, that would be amazing. He said, I want to say something. So he was like, he wants to do something more about tribute to hip hop. And I want to do something about, like, paying homage to the queer black community that I really think defined camp. And so my buttons were RuPaul, Dorian, Pepe LaBeija, Willie Ninja.
We know, Lena, you are one of the ultimate Paris is Burning fans. What's your favorite quote from Paris is Burning?
Fuck. I mean, first of all, that's actually the most difficult question I've ever been asked.
I'm like the Dan Rather of
killing
drag.
It. You're,
yes,
killing it. I think a really random one is they put the cheese on the meat. people remember that. That's like very like super random. But another big thing is pretty much everything old boy says, he's like, I'll walk when I want to walk. About like walking balls.
What about when the guy's ironing and he was like,
if I don't do this, he'll go there wrinkled. I mean, like, it literally taught me, like, about my history. You know, I feel like any, if you're Black and queer, like, to me, Paris is Burning should be required viewing, because it's really where we get our language, it's where we get our swag. It's like, you know, it's the beginning of everything. Because the truth is, what I love to do, because I also paid homage to them when I won the Trailblazer Award, the MTV Movie Awards, because I really want to say, and it's interesting that the Kardashians were in the building at the time, and it's no shade. I'm not out here trying to, like, you know, fire shots off. But if people watch Paris is Burning, that documentary, they'll hear things that they hear on Keeping Up with the Kardashians that they think were invented by them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, nah, the truth is everybody's culture vulture. Everybody's stealing from these Black drag queens, like, who were in New York City in the late 80s, early 90s, and just, like, who were creating their own language, their own dialogue, their own everything. And people have just sort of picked from it, and no one really ever gives them the respect they deserve.
Yeah, they really did come up with a lot. You've been a big fan of drag, big advocate for drag, too. I saw an interview once where they asked you, like, what's a huge cultural phenomenon right now? You were like, Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's, you know, just set giving people a window into an idea of a group or a community.
Right.
Now you actually get to know them. You got to be a judge.
Yes,
recently
I did.
On RuPaul's Drag Race.
Still haven't seen my episode, but it's
what?
All good. I know.
Lena.
I have a link to it. Yeah. I have a
Lena.
Link. They sent me a link. I gotta
watch
it.
Okay, we're gonna cut this early so me and Lena can go watch her episode.
But no. Here's the crazy thing. Like, one, first of all, I'll talk about my drag race experience.
Please.
Here's what they don't tell you is I have no idea. I'm walking in, you know, to judge only what's in front of me. They don't show me footage of anybody or anything. It's all new to me. Like, I'm just going off of the challenge that I know and what I'm saying and judging. So, which is kind of cool in a way because I'm fresh eyes,
mm-hmm.
but it's tough because, like, Ross, Rue, all these other people, they've been seeing the entire journey.
Yes.
So what they're basing their critique is on that. Me and Wanda are like, all right, we coming in, like, based on what we just saw, this person was stronger. So I know, and by the way, I totally heard from people like, oh, like, the wrong person got voted off, this and that. And I'm almost like, yo, like, what you gotta understand is y'all watching the whole thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
I came in, like, clean. I don't see nothing. I don't know anybody. I don't know anything. So, but also, too, even for the elimination, I was very emotional because even though I don't know this person, I don't know what's going on.
Right,
because
in the bottom was Nina West and Silky Ganache.
Uh-huh. Yes. And so, and also, too, and a lot of people didn't love the song, but, like, whatever. That's producers. They pick what songs people, whatever.
Yeah, nothing to do with that.
Yeah, so, yeah. But I just was very, like, I've told people this. It was, like, the most emotional thing, like, I've ever been a part of because I know that this is a person. This is a real person. Like, they've obviously been here for, like, weeks and doing this, and they have to go, and, you know, this is their goodbye, and they're, like, saying, you know, and also, too, there was obviously something going on that I didn't know, and, like, they were all, like, voting off this one person. And so, again, I'm so unaware of, like, the history of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So when Rue asked, like, who would you like to be voted off? Who would you like to go? And so they keep saying this person's name, and I don't know this person. And this person's, like, obviously, like, wow, man. It's like every time somebody says their name, it's like there's, like, a shot fired.
Yes.
So I'm just sitting there like, oh, man, there's obviously history. Obviously something's going on. But people don't realize I ain't seen no footage. I don't know what's going on. I'm just there to judge what's in front of me.
For that one particular day. Exactly.
Yeah,
and you're really only there for... You're only
there
for
the
runway,
whole day.
Right?
Well, no, I'm there. Well, I was there, like, all day. But, I mean, but, like, yeah, I'm not. But, again, I'm not seeing any footage. But, yes,
right.
I walk the runway. We talk. We joke. Yes, they do the runway. We, like, make our little comments or whatever. And then we have to judge the, you know, the lip sync.
Yeah.
Like that. But that's all I know of them. So, but that's what people, what I do like about it is that, I know people are, like, are very invested. They have opinions and stuff. But my thing is this, is that, like, it don't matter how dope you've been, you know what I'm saying, throughout. And again, like I said, I didn't see everything that the queens did before that. If you don't kill it during a lip sync, it doesn't matter, like, what you've been doing. We have to go off of that.
Right.
That's what everybody knows. That's the rule. But I know a lot of people were obviously like, feeling some kind of way about it and this
well,
and that. And
I was just like, opinions. Yo. You give your thoughts and everything. But at the end of the day, it's Rue's final decision to
no,
make.
That's absolutely true. So yeah, we sit, we talk, and then, you know, that it is absolutely Rue's decision. But I definitely felt listened to and, like, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
we have
no,
a real conversation.
High five to you. Actually, I'm going to give you both 10.
Right.
I'm going to give
was
you
I
10.
Good? Was it yeah. good? You happy with how
it
I get with now?
Right. First okay. of all, being a friend, I'm like, oh, that's my friend. And then you come walking down, you got the colorful top on.
Yeah,
you
I still had locks in my head.
Yeah, still locks. I was like, okay, when did they film this?
I know,
last summer.
It was a while ago. It was a while ago.
But that being said, you could tell that you were, even if you hadn't seen these particular people's journey,
right.
you were a fan of the show.
Yeah.
And I think we love seeing judges there that are fun, that are funny,
that's
that
the
have
only
good
way to
comments.
Do it.
And you have to think of that stuff on the fly,
on
right?
The fly. Fly.
They're like, here's a like, picture of so-and-so. Here she comes. Make a funny joke.
They did, man. And I, but also, it's not just that. Rue is like the queen of all like one-liners. Ross is like, I mean, it's the truth is like everybody's so practiced,
uh-huh.
and so. But I got some in though. I
oh
got
no,
a couple
you
in.
Definitely got good.
Yeah,
ones
I don't know like which ones, but I know like when I was saying them, I was like, okay, let me get in, yeah. let me get in. You know, but they're but also they do this like constantly, so they're like. On it. And I'm like, hold on. You know.
Wait a second, guys. Wait a second.
Yeah. Wanda was good, though. Wanda, you know. Yeah. She,
I mean,
she
know
what's
it was
up.
Double the lesbian power in there on
I know,
that day.
We, me and Wanda were like super
double
happy.
The black lesbian power.
We had no idea, like, you know, we would be on each other. But we were like, this is dope. This is great.
This is super dope.
Man. But that
have
was, it
met,
was a whirlwind.
In working with Wanda on the show of Rue, and you worked with so many amazing people.
Saw Rue at the Met, too. Rue was at the Met.
Yes, she mm-hmm. was. We're at the Met, real quick, and I know I can't keep you long, mm-hmm. but how many... Which people made you turn your head and be like, oh, okay, she showed up?
In terms of, like, looks or, like,
and
I'm
looks.
Surprised you're here? Oh.
Looks. Like, when you saw
at
it, you
Met?
Were like, okay, I like that.
At the Met?
Yes.
I mean, honestly, you feel that way about what everybody's wearing because you're just, like, it's such a, like, a you're sort of being bowled over with, like, so much fashion. And also because it was camp, people were, like, doing a lot. Ezra, the actor, who is phenomenal, who did the eyes and he had the mask. And
oh,
like
yes, yes.
He was really dope. Who was interesting? You know, it's funny. I was going to say this person just because I was so honored to meet him was Frank Ocean. He did a very, like, low-key look. But that, to me, I think is almost its own version of camp because mm-hmm. to come and be, like, with the black, you know, hoodie jacket, which was obviously Prada, and, like, I think he might have been wearing all Prada. But, like, it was just so relaxed and chill because I think he was there just to observe and vibe.
Yes.
And he was taking pictures and stuff. So, to me, that's its own version of camp in a way, to go the opposite and to,
it
like,
can't,
dress
yeah,
down. You know
I
what I'm saying?
I agree, Kimmy. Now, if I showed up and I was dressed down, they would be like, now, Miss Shanji,
what?
Who didn't
but
wake
that's
you
not
up
your
this
personality.
Morning?
You know, Frank is like, I want to be, you know, incognito.
And then we have Billy Porter,
oh,
who rolls
well,
in gold.
He, to me, I felt like if there was a competition, in my opinion, he won. To me.
She had that good old Jackie's back love goddess entrance.
I mean, like, just that alone, like, to me, he won. Like, I'm like, Gaga, Katy Perry, all of them can have several seats. Like, to me, Billy Porter's late.
Well, Katy Perry's bathroom outfit. Did you see when J-Lo walks out of the bathroom stall? There's an Instagram video.
I don't think I've seen it, but I heard about it.
There's a girl videoing Katy Perry who's getting into her hamburger after party costume, and J-Lo comes out of the bathroom stall. First of all, filming in the ladies' restroom is a
yeah,
general
who,
across the board
who
no.
Got that video?
But it was like Katie's homegirl or like assistant, somebody who was
oh,
with her.
Oh, so it's her like, people. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so it's filming fair Katie enough. Get into her burger and out from the stall with the ostrich feather periwinkle blue to the ground comes
yes,
J-Lo.
Yes, so I saw J-Lo. I saw her take the carpet.
Oh, yes?
Yes, I did.
Was there a
it
glow?
It was great. Yeah, man. There's always a person that trumps the line because what people don't realize about the Met Gala is like, that is like, it is organized to a T. So,
yes.
You know, about how they flow with the, because again, it's not a, just a, it's stairs. So you really do have to like, you know, make sure you're spacing people out. And I was like behind the Kardashian girls, Kendall and
oh yes, who had
the other
orange
girl. Yeah,
feathery,
and her other sister.
And Kylie.
Kylie,
yes.
And then Travis obviously was with them.
I love that Lena had to pause and think about these Kardashian names. That's where she is. Y'all be just as
yeah,
a professional.
I'm
she
not,
said she can't sit up and watch KUWTK all day.
Look, bro, it be on at the crib. You know, we be seeing what the, you know what they doing. So at the end of the day, so we were behind them and this also goes to show you the hierarchy too in terms of where people are. Like, so I'm standing behind them Ezra was behind us, and then because this happened last year, when we were in the line, and they just like shut everything down, and they stop people from going on, and they like, and there's like a VIP line that's like next, where it's like for like big important motherfuckers, and like they stopped it, and it was Rihanna. That was last year, so you're like, oh shit. So this year, that same thing happened, but it was J-Lo. So it just kind of shows you like. They don't care about Kylie and whoever, whatever the girl like, name. They like, J-Lo. Hick up J-Lo, niggas. Like, let's go. Yeah.
Well, that's what happened with me and Jennifer Lewis at the Oscars. She said, now look, this is your first Oscar, but this is not my first time.
Come on.
She's like, we going early. And I was like, what time are we going? She's like, we need to be there by 1 o'clock when the carpet opens.
Ooh.
Wait, so Jennifer and I roll up.
That's kind of smart, because then you get a lot of...
Well, we roll up, girl. We got there at 12:55. They tell, I asked her, I said, Jen, I don't think we're in the right place because we're driving. You know, we had the drive on pass for the Oscars going to Hollywood Boulevard.
Right.
We're coming through,
Did you have a good seat?
We're in our car in getting to the place, right? Darren, Jennifer's nephew, is driving.
Yeah. Okay.
So we get in, and I'm thinking, nobody's here. We're in the wrong spot, Jen. We're in the wrong spot. She rolls down the thing, said, excuse me, baby. We're here for the Oscars. I'm Jennifer Lewis. This is Shangela. And they're like, one second.
More.
Yeah. So she gets, the PA comes up and she's like, oh, I'm welcome, guys. I'm so sorry. The carpet's not open yet, but if you'd like to park right here, we'll just come get you.
Open?
Girl, what? Well, they was running 5 minutes late, so 1:05. We're there at 12:55. So we literally sat in the car for 10 minutes, like at the front of the car, literally at the entrance, by ourselves, nobody else there. Jennifer starts rolling down the window, screaming at fans who are behind that fence. Hey, baby, yes, this is me, Jennifer Lewis. Yeah, come on, get a picture, baby.
No.
Come on. So they're taking pictures of the fence. I'm like, Jen, roll up the window. And she's living. So we were the first people on the carpet. So we got to do the whole car. We were only supposed to talk to two outlets.
There wasn't
nobody there, so we got to talk to everybody. Like, we had time to go all the way down the carpet and then come back up the carpet because Jennifer left her purse. So we had to go. She's like, hey, motherfuckers, I lost my purse.
Wow.
But yeah, so it's important to get there early.
First of all, that is such a move. I had no idea. I just saw images and I was like, oh, great. They did the carpet. It was awesome. Now, where'd y'all sit inside?
Well, we were on the bottom level, so the orchestra level, but we were guests of Mark Shaiman. So Mark and Scott were nominated for the music they created for Mary Poppins Returns.
Oh.
So we went, because I didn't get a ticket. Like, it's not like they called
maybe
and been like,
y'all did.
No.
Okay.
Girl, even in A Star is Born, there were no strings before. They were like, it's the Oscars, baby. But
right.
Mark Shaiman is great.
I've
best friend
been,
of Jennifer.
Still. I've never been. I think there was like talk that me and Alana were going to possibly try to go this past year, but for some reason, I think we might have even been out of town or something. I don't know, but it didn't work out. But
yeah,
like,
it's strong. Yeah. It's strong.
Hopefully, I'll be there next year as a nominee. Shit.
Well, you know, I know Alana's, you guys are engaged. You just got engaged a couple years ago in what, Tokyo?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right for that.
You just bowed, everybody.
I did. I gave you a little bow. It was really respectful and cute because I love Alana. Alana,
yes.
Lena's fiance,
Alana
Miles, shout out, I love
yes.
you, knows that I sang her Uptown Fish before when I was first writing it.
Yes,
and she was on the sidewalk in Larchmont, remember, and was like, I like that song.
Oh, yes, that is true. It's classic us. She's like, guess who I ran into?
And I was like, girl, I got a song. It's called Uptown Fish. Let me do it for you. Uptown Fish. She was like, ha-ha, okay.
She's like, all right.
She was like,
Alana's not like, you know, nothing rattles Alana. Like, she's very, like, low-key. I think that's why I've sort of become even more low-key being around Alana, because she's so, but that's the way to do it too. It's like you got to always keep your cool, calm, collected, no matter where you at, no matter what's going on. You always want to be chill. The only people I like geek out about is FLOTUS.
Have you met Michelle
yes.
Obama?
Yeah.
Lena, I know I can't keep you long. Two last questions. Tell me about meeting Michelle Obama, and please walk me back through what was going in your head when you and I were in the room and met Beyonce after the GLAAD Awards.
That's actually two really good stories to wrap up with. So I met the former president and his amazing wife, Michelle Obama, because they started this foundation, the Obama Foundation, and they like sort of launched it in Chicago, obviously appropriately. And they asked a few people to come and like help launch that. And like they did like a concert, like a whole thing in Chicago, which was really cool. So they asked me and Aziz to like introduce a musical act on their thing. So Aziz came, I went, that's where I met Rashida Jones the first time. We started to build our friendship. And it was just a wonderful, big big event. Chance the Rapper, Weep Me and Aziz introduced Nas. It was like a whole crazy thing. So when we got to obviously like meet, you know, Obama and Michelle, and it was crazy. And then you take a picture, but the great thing is like they don't, they're really, well, they're phenomenal human beings, but they don't, I think, like having people be a part of their stuff if they are not familiar with them. So I didn't know this. I just figured, oh, they're going to invite me and Aziz because we kind of want an Emmy and maybe that's part of it. Like, nah, like the first thing Mrs. Obama said to us was like, I'm such a fan of the show. Like, this is so great. We put, you know, Barack on it. Our daughters enjoy it. Like, so we were like, oh, snap. So y'all know the work. And it was very genuine. It was really real. You know, and so it's like, you know, I don't know what to call him. Like, Mr. Obama, Barack Obama, our former president, still calling POTUS our forever president. Like, he was just, they're just the most kind, like, sweet, genuine, grounded people you'd ever meet. And I think that's why you see their daughters are so normal, because they really are just like these like amazing people who are just salt of the earth. So then the wonderful Mrs. Michelle Obama also has a thing where she did a thing called signing day for kids who want to commit to going to college and finishing. So she asked if I could be a part of that. And so I went and like sort of like, and also they were giving out scholarships and talking about that. So I went and introduced one of the people who received, was getting a scholarship, and it was just amazing. And she then asked if I could do something. I can't say what it was, but it's going to be a part of like a late night thing that I could be a part of. And I went and did it, and it was a phenomenal experience. So she's just great.
What is like, okay, so it, like, for example, when we met Beyoncé, I'm standing in the room next to Jay-Z.
Right.
I was, like, coming up with the most awkward things to say because I couldn't think of anything. When you're standing next to Mrs. Michelle Obama, what small talk can you make?
You know what? They're really great. They do it for you. Like, they don't ever, because that's the best thing about them, is, like, they are aware of who they are. I think the same thing with Steven Spielberg. Like, he knows that he's making you nervous, so he's good about, like, diffusing the situation immediately and just sort of making you feel comfortable. And I feel like they're the same way. Like, she'll, like, say something like, oh, I saw this, or that's great, or like, look at you, you lose a weight, man. Come on, don't go Hollywood on me. Like, she's like an auntie. Like, she's just like, you know, they sort of do it for you. Like, you, if you're ever around them, you don't have to force the conversation. They'll ask you questions. If they're familiar with your work, they'll reference it. That's the thing about them. They're very much of the world. Like, they watch things, they read stuff, they listen to music. Like, you know, I love that Obama would release his playlist. I hope he still does it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he should do that every year.
Or just start DJing.
Well, maybe.
Now, to the club, and it was like DJ Obama in here tonight.
You know what I'm saying? Like, but that just to me, like, I know he did it obviously when he was in office. I think he did it again even when he was out of office. But people really, you know, people, whatever, they get a kick out of, like, what's he listening to? But it's like great because you see the diversity of the music. You see that he listens to like hip hop. He'll listen to this song that you know, you're like, what? Like, that's amazing. And one, obviously, it's a great look for the artist, but it's kind of, again, it humanizes him in a way where it's like, I love that song, or I don't know that song, but I'm gonna listen to it. As you said, it's on your playlist. So I think it's things like that. Like, that's who they are. Like, they're like, they're very much of the world, which I think is why people love them so much.
Well, you know who stays number one on my playlist is Beyoncé.
Come on, Mrs.
Beyoncé.
Carter, if you're nasty.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy because I'm trying to think, like, well, now I'm trying to remember,
had you ever met Beyoncé before?
See, now I'm trying to remember that.
Like, have you ever gone to a Beyoncé concert or Destiny's Child?
Yes, for sure. Yes, you know what? That's right. So I saw them as Destiny's Child. This is when they were like about to wrap that up. I remember this was years ago.
Oh my God, me too. If we
in
saw
Chicago,
the same one,
House of Blues.
I saw them at Texas Relays, was a track meet in Austin, Texas, girl. And they came. They were like, they had done Bills with Bills. There was a little drama
that's
going
early.
On. So they came and they're like, "Welcome, Destiny's Child. Two of them not gonna be here." Yeah! And out runs Kelly and Beyoncé and two boy dancers, and they did all the songs, and we were like, wait a second.
Wait, only Kelly and Beyoncé?
Only Kelly, only Beyoncé, and two boy dancers with the two of them came out for Texas Relays. And they did all the tracks.
Well, Kelly's my motherfucker. Like, that's my dog. But, like, so that's hilarious. No, I saw them, I should tell Kelly this, like, House of Blues in Chicago.
Yeah, let's call her right now. Let's tell Kelly this.
Kelly! So... I saw the three. It wasn't at that point. It was all figured out, the drama. So it was like, it was Kelly, Michelle, and Beyoncé, and they debuted "Lose My Breath" for the audience. They had sang that for the first time for us.
Oh.
So that's the era that was. That's how long ago that shit was. Then obviously I'd gone to like On the Run and like, but On the Run 2 we have been invited by like the team. I yes. bought tickets already. So, but then they were like, oh, but you've been invited. I was a guest.
Oh, thank you. Can I get a refund on these tickets, though?
No, I gave the tickets away to people. I had tickets for different nights. So I gave it to assistants, to my executive producer, my exec. So we were like, cool. So, but then I went, you know, with a couple of homies and we were like, we were in it. When you're invited, like you're like by the damn stage. So we were like, wow, this is great. And so that's the moment that everybody knows that she came, she walked by and gave me the salute. So that's the first time we ever like kind of had like eye contact. So the first time I was actually meeting her was that night when I helped present her with the award. So, which was amazing. And I got to do it with so many other amazing people. And I got to write, you know, what I said. They gave me copy, what I said, can I do a little remix? And they allowed me to do that. And so and I just felt honored to be asked to help present that award. Like,
yeah, at the LA, we're talking about the LA Glad Awards recently in May. And then afterward, they were like, Beyonce's amazing publicist.
Who's phenomenal.
Yvette. Amazing.
She's just a phenomenal human being.
She really is. Mm-hmm. Like, she has such a glow to her, too. They came
I love
said,
my publicist, but I'm like, you're lit. Like, you're amazing.
Oh, yeah, Charlie, you good, too.
Yeah.
But they came in there like, Jennifer, Lena, Shangela, and maybe one or two other people.
Yeah.
Her cousin, Ty, who's a great stylist and friend. And you guys, we're going to meet Beyonce. Please come with us. And we're like, what? So they whisk us off to the back. We go into this hotel room. Lena, what's going through your head? Because I know what's going through my wig.
Well, here's the funny thing. I didn't feel, because here's the thing. I guess, and I'm not as, you know, obviously as big as Beyonce is, but I know the feeling of like, you get something, you're there, you show up for the award, and you just want to go home after. So I was like, great. You know, we greeted on stage. Like, she was very kind. Her and Jay came back afterward and, like, you know, back right directly backstage. And we all said, she was very grateful. They were both like, thank you so much, you guys, for doing this. We all said, you're very welcome. And then I was like, go, where's my car? So, because I figured they were ready to go find theirs. But I guess they just kind of wanted to, like, hang back and, like, take some pictures, maybe have a little bit of champagne to celebrate. So I didn't know that was happening. So I was a little surprised that they were like, oh, do you want to come back and just whatever? But also, too, we got a couple pics, which was really cool. But, like, I guess for me, I was just surprised that they were even going to be able to hang because they, you know, I'm sure they're exhausted. But we went back there. I got to say a few words to Jay.
What did she say to you? What did you say to Jay?
I just said, I think I just kind of reiterated what I said up on stage, which was, you know, I was really grateful to him for being open about his mom and, like, you know, and her sexuality and giving her room to speak on his track. Like, I was just sort of, like, kind of repeating what I said. And I could tell he really appreciated it and was like, you know.
He was so chill. Jay-Z's in there just, like, sitting in the corner, not into the photos, just like, yo, what's up, man?
Yeah.
And there I am dressed as Beyonce.
Come on. So he probably was like, okay. But also, by the way, here's what's crazy. That ain't new to them. Like, they probably like, we see this all the time.
Oh,
you know?
God, I loved it.
But I just also thought it was such a huge moment for, like, me and you to have that experience together, especially with our journeys and how, like, it's just I think it may be hard for other people to understand, like, how long we've known each other, us doing Body of a Barbie, us be hanging out at Jennifer Lewis's house, like, us eating Popeye. Like, that...
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Us eating Popeye's, like,
I'm
in
sorry.
Your car.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would listen to Lena for one last second, I have a special gift for her. I'm leaving the microphone.
Oh, Jesus. Uh-oh, did you know I was going to say this? Did you know? This dude finna go get Popeye.
Da, 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 da,
first of all,
da,
I just... Is this you or for me?
This is for you.
Negro, I done already had breakfast.
Oh, okay. Well, give me this
drumstick. I'm gonna take this with me. This
I'm
gonna be
so
my
sorry,
lunch.
Guys. I had to take a second away because I had a surprise bucket of chicken from Popeye's, a two-piece for Lena, because
I'm
we used to, on Tuesdays when we were coming up, we used to go to...
If I knew this, I wouldn't eat breakfast. No, I'm going to take that. That's my lunch. I'm taking that with me.
We used to have two-piece Tuesdays. Now, Lena...
Two-piece Tuesdays!
I know you got to run, but I want to thank you so much.
Thank you!
For coming on today and chatting with me and the listeners, y'all. I'm telling you, if you want to make it in life, remember, Lena Waithe, it was not overnight. You got to work for it.
Come
you got
on.
To keep working. You constantly working.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me what's... November 27th, right? This year?
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving weekend, basically.
It's for Queen and Slim.
Queen and Slim is definitely sort of, you know, it's been deemed a little bit of a Black Bonnie and Clyde, but that's, I think, a very simple way of, you know, looking at it. It's basically a story about what it means to be Black, what it means to be in love, you know, and basically what it means to, like, constantly be running, you know, which I think is sort of every Black person's plight, is we're always on the run.
Oh, my God, it's Carmen the Hip Hopper redone.
Come on. But, yeah, it's a very simple story. story, black man, black woman go on the first date on their way home. They get pulled over by a police officer. He gets really aggressive with them. They end up killing him in self-defense and decide to go on the run and sort of become these sort of accidental vigilantes.
Yes.
And sort of become the face of a movement that they never really intended to become the face of. And they, of course, if that hadn't happened, probably would have never seen each other again. But instead, they're sort of forced to be stuck in a car together as they really go on the run for their lives. And it was an idea that was pitched to me by a novelist, James Frey. And I was like, well, I want to take that and run with it. And I did. And I knew Melina Matsoukas was the person to direct it. So grateful she agreed.
She's so talented.
She's phenomenal. And then you got Daniel Kaluuya, who plays our lead guy, who wanted to be a part of the film from the moment he heard that synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are introducing a new actress. Her name is Jodie Turner-Smith. And I really think she's going to have a long career. And
JTS,
we're so excited.
Y'all heard it here first.
We're very
JTS.
Excited about it.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah.
Whatever you want, I'll come back. And let's figure out another time to do where we'll have even more time. We pretty much damn near got a whole hour, but whenever you want me to. Me and you know, DJ could tell, we got stories for days. So, like, whenever you want me to come back, I'm here.
We got stories for days. I love you so much.
I love
you. And I'm
going
to take us out on an ASMR chicken, Popeye's chicken bite. This is a spicy drumstick, y'all.
Perfect.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Tasty.
So I want to say once again, thank you so much, Lena Waithe, for coming in the building. Y'all, you have been listening to Shangela. Say what? Shangela, the podcast. Make sure that you tell your friends to find us anywhere free podcasts are found. And that's like over on Apple. That's over on Spotify, also Stitcher, and anywhere else. So go find us. Tell them to subscribe, rate, and review. I want to hear what you think. How can we do better? What are we doing right? If I'm just, you know, if I'm all off, be like, Bama, not today. Maybe tomorrow. Y'all don't leave that comment. I will find that comment. I will come get you. But thank y'all for listening so much. And I ain't gone yet. I want to remind you guys, if you're listening to this, I'm going to be touring around, not as much right now because I'm trying to focus on doing some stuff in LA and working on other projects. But wherever you can catch me, you can find that information out over on Shangela.com. That's where all of my touring dates and everything will be, Shangela.com. You can also find me on Instagram and Twitter at It's Shangela. There are going to be some dates all those places. So I would love to see you guys coming out for Pride this season or anywhere else I'm gonna be. I'm gonna look for you. Hallelujah.